Morning, everybody. Anybody leaving this week? Jeremy, what are you leaving the week afterwards? It's not your last Friday Seder, right? We have some new people here, some recent alumni, a little bit way back. One of the most famous Pesukim in this week's parasha is when Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef his bidding words, and he says, "Vanina satil lecha Shechem echad al achecha." I'm giving you Shechem, which is a little bit more than your brothers. "Shelakachtim yada emori v'charbi v'kashdi," with my sword and with my bow. So everybody knows, and I'm sure we've heard it many times, that Unklus tells us "Bitzalusi v'usi," which means that the charbi and the kashdi, the sword and the arrow, are really a reference to his tefillah and his chokhmah and his requests, and that's really what enabled him to conquer Shechem and to really be successful in life in general. And there's obviously a very strong message over here. First of all, how did Unklus know? So Shalom, how did Unklus know? Maybe it really means he was victorious with his sword and his bow. Where did he get the idea that it's talking about the Koach HaTefillah? So he said, the fact that it said Charbi Ukashti, my bow, my sword and my bow, implies something personal. Meaning, if it was a sword, right? A person says, a person is successful in a war. It didn't say like my gun per se. The gun was the thing that allowed me to be successful. The fact that he said my gun seems to imply that it was something that had to do with him personally on a personal level, and therefore that's how Unklus understood that it's talking about not literally his sword and his bow, but rather his koach tefillah. But Rosh Hashanah says that you still need to get some sort of beer. I mean, why is it, if it was really through tefillah, if that's the reason why he was victorious in life, and in Shechem in particular, why did Yaakov Inrat say, "B'tefillah v'chach mosi"? That's what he should have said. Through my tefillah, I was successful in life, I was successful in Shechem. Why was this whole remez? So the Brisker Rav, he quotes the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav has tremendous, tremendous insight into the War of Independence in 1948. And now, we have to understand, we have to really accept the words of the Brisker Rav, because we say that, the truth is, we say this in Tefillah, we'll see soon, and it's also in the Torah. They came to the Brisker Rav after 1948, which was, on the one hand, a very miraculous and tremendous victory, but on the other hand, there's also a tremendous loss of life. And they came to the Brisker Rav for understanding how do you look at the War of Independence, how do you look at 1948. Maybe I should just quote a few lines. He said, "Kulum suvur matem sharoivim v'atuchachim v'atankim v'amatoisim." Don't think that it was the guns and the tanks and the planes that won this battle. No way. Lo minei v'lo miktsosei. Not at all. Elmai, what was it? What won the war? Says the Brisker Rav, whose Torah we learn all the time in Sukkah, the Tehillim and the Tefillos and the requests of the Chacham and Tzaddikim, and he even mentioned a few by name, Rav Zev Chechik, Rav Shlomo Blach, he even mentioned a few by name. So, a Jew has to understand, says the Brisker Rav, that the battle was not won on the battlefield. No way. Not a chance. It was certainly won through Tefillah and Ma'isim Tevim. So, they asked him, if that's the case, if it was through the Koach HaTefillah of the Tzaddikim, so how come there were casualties? How come it didn't work out perfectly? So he answered that question with the following story. He said that the Beis HaLevi, it didn't say which son, the Beis HaLevi, one of his sons got engaged, and he got a very large nedunya, which means a very large dowry. So the Beis HaLevi, in order to, be mechanech his son, said, you think that you got this dowry because you're so great? It's not true. You got this dowry because you're my son, said the Beis HaLevi. So don't get too excited about yourself. Don't have too much gaiva. Of course, the Beis HaLevi is not saying it from gaiva either, but he's just trying to express a point. He says, you didn't get your dowry. He said, the large dowry is not because of you, it's because you're my son. So his son was very sharp, and he said, no. It can't be because of you. You know why? Because if it was you, if you were the reason why I was getting the large dowry, the dowry would be double. The fact that the dowry, I don't know, whatever it was, 1,000 rubles. So I'm just throwing out a number. It was 1,000 rubles. So he said, listen, You want to tell me it's because of you, not me. But if it was really you, you'd have 2,000 rubles. You'd have double. So basically, he answered back, and he says, no. You don't understand. It is because of me. But you were the negotiator. You're the agent in between. So you negotiated, and you didn't negotiate well, so to speak. That was the story that the Briskerov told over. And what's the pshat? The pshat is like this. The pshat is that really, in Shemayim, the battle with the War of Independence was really all about the Koach HaTfilah. It was all about Tfilah. But there has to be a medium. There has to be the Shtadlus part, which is a Chiyuv. You have to have the Shtadlus. You have to have the army. It's Poshut. You have to have it. But they're sort of the negotiators. And when the in between, and when they're the middleman between the Koach HaTfilah and how it has to work out, so unfortunately, sometimes things don't always work out perfectly. But the Yisod of the Briskerov is very clear that what do you win with? What do you survive with? It's Poshut Eretz Tefillah. How it plays out gets a little bit more complicated because it involves many different factors and many different variables in the equation. So says in Shalom Shadron, this is what Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef. It's all about Tefillah. B'char b'yu v'kashdi v'tzalusi v'usi. Even though a person has to get into the world and the physicality of how things work, but the real reason behind everything is Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know it says in the Torah. It's partially in the Torah says, right? Don't say koichi v'otzim yadi asli eschayel azeh. Right? My strength in my hand did this. No, it's not. It's not. That's not, that had to happen. That was the. I don't want to say the facade, but that was the implementation of the Koach HaTfilah. But everything is decided up in Shemayim. And Shlomo Shadron says, this is not simply about the Milchama with Shechem. This is not simply about War of Independence. This is every Nisayon in life. Every situation in life is all about Yirat Kodesh Baruch Hu and Tevilah. That's it. You're right. It looks like it's related to a person, let's say a person getting a job. Right, he says very clearly. He says, we're not talking about Milchamas alone. We're talking about, I'll quote a few. Because Adam Nichlas is a mitzuka, sakana, danger, or he wants to be matzeich in business, he has to remember it's all from upstairs. The first thing is tefillah. Afterwards, you get involved. And we say it every morning. Eilu v'orecha v'eilu asusim, v'nachlam b'shem Hashem l'kin nazkir. They all do their chariots and horses, and what do? B'shem Hashem nazkir. We say it every morning, mamish. This, again, getting back to tefillah, getting back to what Rabbi Cohen Shlita said yesterday. Do we, you know, understand and internalize the words we say in the tefillah? Just as an aside, those of you who buy me on Hanukkah, I saw in the Ver HaParsha, they quote from the Chafetz Chaim, the most unbelievable thing that he said at a Shalosh Shudas once, that he thinks a person should spend an hour a day thinking about Emunah Mitachon. And I said, anybody want to raise their hand and think about Emunah Mitachon for an hour? And nobody raised their hand. So he said, fine, at least think about a few psukim during davening, internalize it. Hashem, you're the one who's giving everything. Rabos, machshavos, blevish. All my thoughts are whatever they are. Ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asherish Kehel Yaakov be'ezro. Praise to the person that Hashem helps him. It's all Hashem. At least those three psukim or a few psukim in davening. About a person that Rachman al son. I'm talking to myself as well. You can go through a davening and not think once about a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world, even though every other line is about a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world. You can walk out of davening and not be changed. But if you concentrate on the words, Eila v'rech leila susim v'nachlu b'shem Hashem elokein nazkir. Right, mamish. It's you Hashem, that's it. This is exactly what the Briskerov is saying. And this is exactly the pasuk kochi v'asim yodi kochi v'asim yodi asim yodi asim yodi. Furthermore, he quotes from Leib Chasman, a tremendous observation. In Megillas Esther, right? So Esther says, after the decree against the Jews, what does she say? Ma'azev al ma'azev. And the Gemara in Megillah, and Tesvav says, Shema kofru b'luchos. Maybe they rejected the luchos. So, what do you see from here? Esther's reaction, like, oh, okay, let's see who we have to, you know, who's in charge in Ahasuerus' government that's messing, you know, that's against us. How can we bribe him? How do we try to convince him that we're not so bad? Her first reaction was, Almazav, Almazav, says the Gemara, maybe they're Kofar Luchos. It has to be something Ruchni. It has to be. Right? And he says that even nowadays, he was talking about different gezeiros. You know, for example, this past week, I didn't really follow the whole news. This, but again, I don't really read that much. Blinator online, but I was listening, there was a lot about Shabbos and all these different rules and this and that, and oftentimes in the government, they do all these different things, but in the end of the day, what the Brisker Rebbe is telling us is that it's not about, oh, you know, this politician, that politician. Everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything's about Tefillah, and everything's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And a person has to realize it's not about, of course, you have to do Hishtadlus. But that's where it starts, and that's what Esther is telling us. And furthermore, there's another riot from the Megillah. So then what happens? What is Mordechai responds in kind? He says, Ben Benosha Kro Ba'alechem. Right? And then afterwards, he speaks about Hasheg and the actual people that were involved in the Gzeres HaMelech. And he quotes the Gemara in Brachas, right? Shena Arod Memis, Arod Memis. The I actually looked it up. An Arod is a cross between a snake and a turtle. So it's not and it was being mazik people. So that's not what kill, and it was killing people. That's not what kills people. It's the chedid sins. It's the same yisod. That is the yisod. The yisod of Yaakov Avinu. What was Yaakov Avinu telling Yosef? The yisod is the only way I was successful in life had nothing to do. You're right. It was the facade, the bow and arrow, the sword. That was what actually. That was the implementation of my success. But that's not where my success was, and that's Baruch Hashem, we have Unkelus. Again, if it wasn't Unkelus, then, you know, perhaps somebody else would have been Megala, Yaakov Avinu's, you know, Remes. And that's why it had to be Remes. He couldn't come out and say, oh, it was all Tefillah. Because in reality, that's the Nisayon. It looks like it was the Charbi Kashti, but underneath the surface, you have to realize, and that's really, that's obviously our Avoda, right? Again, like anything in life, like anything in Ruchnias, it's not going to be 100% clear. Because otherwise, there's no Yisoyon. If everything, right? If every time you daven, all of a sudden you just won a war, so then and you didn't have to do anything, so there would be no Yisoyon. But that's the point. The Yisoyon is, hey, you have to be intelligent, and like we saw in Hanukkah, B'nei Vina Yimei Shemona. Only if you had Bina, only if you were a discerning outlook on life, to be realized that it was all Nisim. The same idea. Only if you really, really tap into the Ruchni Shabo, and if you're on that level, so then you realize this. It wasn't the sword and the bow. It was all Tefillah. And there, Rosh Hashanah brings down two stories that drive home the point. He says there's a person living in Shari Chesed, where Rosh Hashanah lived, Reb Chaim Trudish Hirschler. He's a very old man, and he was makpid at the end of his life to stand up for David, stand up for Shmona Esrei. And his family really tried to convince him not to, because they said it was very dangerous. And after a few weeks, whatever, of being very old and very not well, he actually fell. He says, "Oh, you see, that's it. You're finished. You're not allowed to stand there anymore for Shmona Esrei because it's too dangerous." He said to them, "No, that's not what happened." I'll just quote it. The reason why I fell today is not because I'm getting older and I can't stand up anymore. Rather, listen to this. Every morning I say a tefillah before davening. I should daven well and I shouldn't fall. But this morning, since there's a vessel that's next to me that wasn't clean, I wasn't able to daven this tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to help me from not falling, and that's why I fell. Right. So you see, what do you see? This is right here. Somebody who lives Yira. Somebody who's mamish living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who understands his tefillah makes everything, so understands, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please help me daven today. Please let me not fall. And if he fell, it's not because I'm not well and I can't do it. No, it's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes another story from Reb Lopian. Reb Lopian once fell, and in the Kamina Teshiva, and he was like sitting there, and people said, "No, what's wrong? We have to help you up." And he said, "No, I'm not sitting here because I'm hurt. I'm sitting here because I'm trying to figure out why did I fall." The same thing, Esther. The same idea. Why did the Xerah happen? A person has to go through life thinking, "It's you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem Benegdi Soma. This is life. Why is this happening to me?" I don't know if this is a segue into this, but I heard a first-hand, unbelievable story, and I think it's now that I just finished this board, I think it's very very connected. I think story time, but my son has had an ingrown toenail for the last number of months, since the summer. Anyway, first, so I called somebody up about 6 weeks ago, and he said, you know, you have to go to this one, that one. Like, there's only a few people who would actually do, like, get it, like, and finish ingrown toenail for life, so to speak. You have to put a chemical. Anyway, so there's a doctor, David Stein, who lives in, like, Sirotskin area. He's from South Africa originally. He learns in Brisk all day, and he takes patients literally from 9 p.m. till we left at 1:20 in the morning, okay? And there were still people there. Okay, that's when he sees his patients. Him and his wife are there with their coffees, I don't know what. This is the night before Asar B'Tavis, and I don't know how they do it. We left at 1:20, we were exhausted. He's still exhausted, but anyway, this Dr. David Stein, so we were schmoozing. He's such a warm person. He's just, actually, he used to have host people when I was on a Aleph, I believe. No, Shana Bet. I stayed in his house. He used to have Shabbatons in his house. So I remember being in his house from 20-something years ago. Anyway, an amazing person. Really, really a special special thing. Derek Agav, if anybody has ingrown toenails, like, he said, ingrown toenails. It's like mind-boggling. People tell you that it's because your shoes are too narrow and this and that. He says, above my sis. He says, if you notice, most it happens in men. And often it happens in the young teens. It happens when you're growing. Apparently, and you actually asked Gabe yesterday. He said it happened to him. So, like, people who are tall and people who are big. So your bones and your toenails, I guess, they don't grow together properly. And that, he said, most of the time, it's like kids who are like 14 years old. Again, it happens in other cases also. But anyway so what's the story he told me that, and how could I connect it? So I was telling him that I remember when we went on one of these Matusdorf. It wasn't the Shabbaton. Actually, the Sikkos Ben Hazmanim program back in the day was like a live-in, and we stayed for the whole week in a yeshiva, right there. So I remember I said, "Oh, I had the schluss during one of the Sikkos Ben Hazmanim to actually hear Shimshon Pinkel Zatzal live." And Mamish, I told him over a few of these sodas that he said over in the shir, and then he told me what was his shaykhus of Shimshon Pinkel. So he told me that Nebuch, when unfortunately, tragically, Shimshon Pinkel passed away in a car accident. Right before Pesach, he went with Shimshon Pinkel Zatzal's brother to tell the father the news. Why did he go? He didn't necessarily know the family, but he was a doctor, and they were very concerned for his health. And he says that they went into the father, and Dr. Stein is telling the story that the brother of Shimshon Pinkel Zatzal is telling the father the news. He says, you know, Shimshon was in an accident, he was very hurt. And he passed away. He, like, broke the news to him slowly. And then he said, oh, it's, you know, my, like, what's called Siddur Kadin. He said, oh, it must be for my affairs. That's what he said. And then he calmed down. And then he said, and his wife was in the car. And she also got badly hurt. And she didn't make it. And then he said, is that it? And then there's also a daughter. So he just told me the story. Obviously, I don't want to get too intensely emotional here, but... You know, and he said, and Dr. Stein was saying, as a compliment, as a praise, as a shevach to the father, he was such a Baal Emuna that, like, he wasn't needed. Like, there was no, you know, again, we have to understand, this is what I took from the story, that he was living, it was all Hashivi session, like somebody. If you live at a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's a certain heightened level of Emuna. Of course, I'm not saying people who go through Tzara, they should be, I'm not saying that. But what I took from the story was that this Nakuda, if a person lives, Shivisa Hashem, it's all about my tefillah, it's all about me and Hashem, and everything around me is just the vehicle of how things happen in life, so then it's a totally different reaction, a totally different outlook on life. And that's, so I heard this story, I thought it connected, because it really shows a person who lives with it, it's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Olam Haba is the ultimate, and Olam Haza is just a Heichat Timsa, it's just a vestibule to the Trachon, to the palace, you know, and that's what Olam Haba is. And again, that feeling is also the feeling that's going to make you daven more, it's going to make you daven more, like, what's the point in wasting my time? Because ultimately, it's between me and Hashem. I mamish live Shivis Hashem in the summit. If you actually internalize that, so then, what do you do all day? That's what your focus is on. What's the Ratzon Hashem right now? What's the Ratzon Hashem? We should have Siyata Deshmaya, that we shouldn't hear from the Tzaras, and Klai Yisrael should only have Brachos and Yeshuas. But I think the whole idea is Koachat Tefillah. This is what Charbi Bekashli. What was the message Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef? That everything comes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything comes through Tefillah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.